This is Pastor Jim Corson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Eggers Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, June 19, 2022. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Well, good morning. The Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome you this morning. I'd like to wish all of the fathers here a happy Father's Day. Let us pray. Oh God, we trust in your power to create, to sustain, and to enable. Be with us, Lord, as we gather here to worship. Enable us to bring all that we are to you, so that we might experience your touch upon our lives. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Our gracious and loving God, may we lift our hearts to you this morning. Father, may we seek forgiveness for our sins. Let us truly seek forgiveness. As we turn away from those things which separate us from you, which cause us to not let your light shine through our life, that we don't hear fully from you, and that we don't live fully in your grace and in your will, and in your plan for us. Father, it is so easy for us to take things and do them our way rather than yours. But your word reminds us that there is a way that seems right to us that isn't right with you. So, Father, as you forgive us, give us strength to forgive others. For, Father, we realize that we aren't perfect and those around us aren't either. Even if we proclaim Christ as our Lord and Savior, we still make mistakes. Being a Christian doesn't make us perfect. It just gives us grace and forgiveness. And Father, we thank you that every time we come to you, repenting of our sins, you wipe it away as far as the east is from the west, a clean slate and a new beginning. Father, there may be consequences to those things that we've done, and you will help us, you will guide us, and you will lead us, and you will take that which the enemy would want to destroy us and make us stronger. And then we'll know what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord according to his purpose. And Father, we lift the many needs before you, whether they're written on a dry erase board in the sanctuary, whether they're written in our bulletin, whether we've lifted them aloud, or whether they're just silently upon our hearts. Father, we lift them to you today, knowing that you see and that you know, and in your love and in your grace, you hear our prayers and you answer them. Father, sometimes we think it's taken too long. Sometimes it was too quick, or maybe it didn't suit our purpose or our plan or our idea. But Father, we are limited in what we can see and certainly limited in what we know, but you are not. So Father, let us rely on you, the eternal, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, rather than the limitedness of humanity. And Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for leaders in our country to realize that they are servants of the people and that their agenda should be that of taking care of a nation, the people in it, leading and guiding by example, not through agenda. And Father, we pray for states, cities, counties, little towns, little communities, and people's homes and their families. We lift them before you that they would know you, trust you, and follow you in everything they do. And Father, we pray for those who serve not only our nation but our communities. Father, we often forget about the fireman. We often forget about an EMS worker. We recognize the police a lot. But Father, those who serve quietly as caregivers, who give of their efforts, times, talents, and abilities to help and to reach out without a thank you or the expectation of one. Father, we pray for them and lift them up. For the one who stands and garners the attention to the one who cleans a restroom and is not noticed by any. May they all glorify you, and may we pray for them in their service. Father, we do pray now for those who are in nursing homes, hospitals, shut-ins in their own homes. We pray for their caregivers, their doctors and nurses. God be with them, bless them, and keep them. And now we pray that you hear us as you taught your disciples as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I sure don't want to lead us into temptation.
Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds heard what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all of the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Everybody's got an excuse, but nobody takes responsibility. Everybody's got a reason. Well, blame game is everywhere. And that's one of the problems, because Christianity, being a follower of Christ, is about owning it, repenting of it, and changing. You can't own it, you can't repent of it, if you don't admit it, you messed up. That's a problem today. But folks, you need to understand, if there were demons in the day of Jesus, there are demons today. There are demonic forces that go into school and kill 19 kids and 2 children. There are demonic forces that allow evil things to be done through them. There is evil in the world. Do not stick your head in the sand and believe that it's some kind of mental illness always. There are mental illnesses. But folks, there is evil in the world around us today. As sure as there was evil in the day of Jesus, as sure as heaven is sweet and hell's hot, there is evil in the world today. Jesus confronted it many times in the Scriptures. So do not think that it doesn't exist. You can blame it on a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, evil is evil. Good is good. There's a difference. There's right, there's wrong. There is those things. So let's look at this. I want you to know, now if you've read ahead, they had this bad storm on the sea, remember? And they had thought they were drowning, and they went down and told Jesus, oh, we're going to go under, we're going to die, don't you care? And Jesus comes out, he rebukes the storm, and not only does the storm quieten down, immediately they're on the other side. That's another miracle. So now, as soon as Jesus steps foot, you got to look at this, he steps out. As soon as he does, this demoniac, this demon-possessed guy meets him right then, right there. So he must have been watching for Jesus as he came in on the boat, because he was up in the hills. He's actually naked. He's possessed by the demons. He breaks chains and shackles, and he's living in the tombs. He's living in the caves where people are buried. Normal activity, right? You know, it just completely normal, happens every day. And evidently the townspeople were somewhat concerned, because they were the ones putting him in the shackles and chains. He'd break them and run off. Normal activity. He's just a little schizophrenic, a little paranoid. You know, we could give him maybe some Xanax or something like that, and pat him on the back and tell him he's okay, and we understand he's having a hard time, and we understand there are difficulties, and we just need to be okay with it. And that's going to help a lot, right? How's that working out in our country today? Huh? Let's build the truth. It ain't working out so good. That everybody gets a trophy thing ain't faring too well. No personal responsibility, but we want everything. We want recognition, but we don't want responsibility. We want a pat on the back, but we don't want to do the work. It's the way it is. So he gets it. Here comes this demoniac, comes down to Jesus, and he just confronts him right there. No, he don't confront him. He bows down at his feet. He says, whoa, but I want you to look. The demon knows Jesus. There was no social media. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There was no social media. They didn't even have a New York Times. They didn't even have an Inquirer. I remember when that used to be the rag that was at the thing, and there's where you found your misinformation. You know, I saw aliens and I saw all this stuff. How many of you would look at those things while you was waiting to check out? Tell the truth. I'm sorry, I did. You almost had time to read the whole thing. The National Enquirer before you got up to the checkout counter. I don't know how many movie stars were having affairs and they told it about them and had pictures about them and all that stuff. It was just, you know, that was always, that you knew that, but now they're, you know, anyway. I'm not going to go there. How did he know this is who Jesus was? First time Jesus has been there. This is Gentile country. This is not Jewish territory. This is the land of the Gentiles. And Jesus has just arrived. He's literally just that foot. This guy comes down. He meets him, and he bows down at his feet, and he shouts with a loud voice. And he says, as he stepped on land, a man of the city who had demons, more than one, met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in the house, but was in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He knew who Jesus was. He knew that this was the Son of the Most. He knew this wasn't just any old Jew boy coming over on a boat. He knew this wasn't a bunch of, he knew who he is talking to. How did he know? Folks, you need to understand, evil knows God. Evil knows who Jesus is. Over and over and over, you see it in the Bible. This evil saw him, this evil recognized him, and he says something to him. Let's look at this. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Do not put me back in the abyss." And Jesus went to cast out the demon, and he began to shred this guy, literally kill this man. So Jesus backs off, and a conversation ensues, because Jesus loved that man. Jesus wanted to preserve that man, although he was crazy as a snap bug. Although he was living in the tombs, although he was running around naked and breaking chains, people were afraid of him. Can you imagine going to to bury somebody at this tomb, at these tombs? Can you imagine going out there to bury your mama, your daddy, your aunt, uncle, somebody? You go, and this naked guy comes running out screaming like a maniac. That would be a little unnerving. So here, let's look. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. What's a legion? Anybody remember any Roman history? Huh? A Roman legion was 6,000 soldiers. A Roman legion was 6,000 soldiers. This guy had a problem, and it seemed pretty big. So there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission to go get in the pigs. Why didn't he send them suckers back to the abyss? Huh? How come this conversation's going on where he says, he just gets to town, and he steps out of the boat, and this demon guy possessed shows up, and he says, "Why are you here? Have you come to talk? What are you going to do with me?" If that demon knew Jesus, if that demon knew that Jesus had the power to destroy him, that demon knew something else. That demon knew that he didn't just have the power to destroy him, but he also had the power to restore him. Ain't that the way it works? If you have the power to destroy a life, you also have the power to spare the life. If you have the power to upend somebody's life, you also have the power to lift it up. You see, it's always two choices, remember? Always two, no more, no less. But if you have the power for negative, you have the power for positive, and vice versa. So this demon says, "Don't do it. Let us go. Let us out of here." He said, "Okay. Go on, get the pigs." Boom, down the hill they go. They all die. The demons get loose. Whatever, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. Don't explain it to us. But at any rate, the people hear about it. They come down. This guy was clothed. This guy was sane. This guy was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was calm. And they get ticked. They sin and tell Jesus, "We don't want you here. Get out of here. Go away." It seems And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to get back on the boat. You know, it's just right here. I just got out of it. So he's going to leave. The guy that was healed, demons cast out, he wants to come. He wants to be a part. And Jesus said, no, you need to go back and tell everybody. They're sending me away. But how about you going and tell them what God has done for you? Is there a message for us, church? Yeah, we need to go tell people what God's done for us. We need to tell people about God's grace in our own lives and how God's changed our life and the forgiveness of our life and the changes God has made in our life. We need to do that. But we need to look at something else here. I told you to keep your Bibles open. Sometimes, I think sometimes this is the only day you get one out. But anyway, I'm just picking on you. Don't throw rocks at me. You know, throw candy bars, chicken legs. I don't mind tomatoes. I can catch them pretty good, duck and dodge a little. But I want you to look at something. The demon comes to Jesus, why are you here? Jesus didn't answer why he was there. Demon talks, not Jesus. The demon's making the deal. The demons were the one confronting Jesus. And instead of asking for forgiveness, instead of asking for repentance, much like Adam in the garden, do you remember that story of Adam in the garden? Adam said, it's your fault, the woman you gave me, if you'd just done a little better job. Adam never did admit that he did anything wrong. Fast forward to Cain and Abel. Cain kills his brother Abel. Who does he blame? God. You're being too unfair. You're not treating me right. He never did repent of killing his brother. You see, God gives us an opportunity to choose, and the choice is ours. Even the demons had a choice. They decided to cause a coup in heaven, and one-third of the heavenly host was cast into the abyss. There's evil in the world, church. There's a devil, and he's real. His whole thing is to destroy you, to cause you pain, to cause you misery, to cause you temptation. He wants to draw you away from God. He'll do anything he can. He'll draw you away from the will of God because he knows that that'll end badly. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. Sometimes we listen to the wrong coach and we play for the wrong team. But we don't want to admit it. We don't want to confess it. We don't want to own it. I was picking on them at Sunday school, and Nick was picking with me. And I tell people, you need to understand, the ship never sinks from the water on the outside. It sinks because the water gets in. In our country today, we've waffled on morals, we've waffled on values, and we threw God out of the places he very much needed to be. Pastor, how many of you are old enough? Okay, you know, by now I'm a southern white redneck, right? You got that figured out yet? That's something you can't learn. You are born into that. That's genetic. And I can change voice. Right now it's pretty accented, but I can fix it to where you probably wouldn't understand half what I said, unless you're from the South. I remember growing up in our parking lot at my high school, it was full of pickup trucks. Yes, people in other places other than Wyoming drive pickup trucks. The only thing is out there, we braze them high, wide tires, got to get through that clay and them mud bogs and stuff like that. But every truck had a shotgun in the rack or a rifle in the rack, and the truck wasn't locked. Do you know what else? When I get dressed in the morning, I am not finished dressing. Uh-oh. I have to put my stuff under here because I'll rattle it if it's in my pockets. I just know me. I'm not dressed if I don't put a knife in my pocket. I've got to have a watch on my arm, a knife in my, and it goes in the right pocket because I might need to get at it. And I might need to get at it so I don't have to use two hands to get it open and to work it. Everybody carried a knife to school. How many of you remember that? I've swapped knives on the playground more when I was in grade school. I'd swap knives with teachers. I'd come home with three or four knives. I'd take a good one, get three or four duds, come home, clean them up, take them. It was all the time trade. I'd trade on something. I'd trade on anything. If I didn't have to feed it, I'll trade on it. But if I have to feed it, I'm out. You can do whatever. But I don't remember a school shooting. Do you? I remember firearms classes in school. And I'm not just talking about gun control and all that stuff. I'm talking about at the soul, at the heart of our country. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America every morning. And my teacher read me a devotional from the King James Bible and talked about God. And we talked about country. And we were dedicated. We'd go out and fist fight. We'd have a fist. Dick got a ticket for a slap fight thing. Anyway, we bust somebody's nose. I mean, it was a. How many of you had a fight on a playground? How many of you meet under the bleachers or right in the classroom? I got into a lot of fights in school. I never did get a ticket. I got my butt busted, and I had to shake his hand and tell him I was sorry and that I wasn't doing. How many of you have ever had a fight in school and were somebody's friend the next day or that afternoon? And would be best friends, like, because you settled it. It was done. It was over with. What changed? Do you realize that the number of guns per household is still the same? What changed? How do we blame an inanimate object? And folks, we don't just do it there. We can name a list of stuff, can't we? The reality is, we can dismiss it as. How many of you have a roof on your house? Anybody got a roof on your house? You're hoping right now it ain't leaking. But let me ask you a question. If you go home and you find a nail has pushed up through your shingle, and it's pushed up enough to water's coming in around it, are you going to say to that nail, well, that's just your nature to push up and get loose? I'm just not going to be able to do anything about it. I've got to accept you the way you are. So you're going to let that nail poke up, and every time it rains, come in. What's that do to the rest of the house? Well, it's all right. I'll get me a bucket. I'll set it down here, and the water can get in this bucket. Well, I'm not going to pay attention to that ceiling that's about to fall, and that insulation that's going to come down, and that rot that's happening, or that mildew that's growing. I'm just going to let it be because I can't. That's the nature of a nail. Really? Folks, do you realize that's where we are as a people today? And that's contrary to the very Word of God. And do you know what's really sad? It's as true in our churches as it is in the world. Anything goes. This isn't a soft and fluffy message. How many of you want to live in a better place? Here's the rule book. Here's the rule book. How many of you want to change your lives? Here's the book. How many of you want to change your country, your community, your home life? Here's the instructions. And you know what's great? It don't just come with instructions. It comes with promises. It comes with the promise of Jesus Christ that'll be with us. It comes with the promise of the Holy Spirit that'll be in us, guide us, and through us. It'll cause us to forgive ourselves, to be able to forgive others, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It causes a change, and it causes that nail to become a nail that's interested in not letting the house fall down. It becomes that which it should be. It owns it. It admits it. It lives it. There's integrity. There's honesty. There's morality. All of the things that bring us together as people. How many of us are perfect? None. But what that should that be an excuse to not try to do what's right? No. Well, Pastor, I just can't do it. Trust God. Because with God, all things are possible. With us, not so much. Will be the nail that pokes up through the shingle. But God will bring the tar and a hammer and fix it. Strange things in here. But as sure as heaven's sweet, hell's hot. As sure as there is good, there is evil. But you need to know something. Greater is he who is in us who believe than he who is in the world. Evil has no power in your life other than what you give it. It's defeated. It has no power in our communities that we don't give it. It has no power in the world around us except what we give it. Jesus defeated it. Jesus is defeating it. Jesus will defeat it. We need to give him the victory and lean on him for the strength. He's the answer. But we can't stick our head in the ground and say, well, that's just not so. Because it is. We've done that way too long, Christians. We've been quiet way too long. We've got to live it out. We've got to witness. Today is Father's Day. My dad died the first day of June. No, I didn't lose my daddy. I know where he went. Daddy died the first day of June. I was sitting there in the room when he died. I watched him take his last breath, was holding my hand on his shoulder and my other hand holding his hand. And I loved my daddy. My daddy loved me, but my daddy wasn't perfect. My daddy beat me so bad one time I couldn't even sit down in school. My clothes stuck to me. But, you know, I go think back on that. I was a handful. Maybe not that much of a handful. But the one thing that connected us was love. Love. Not perfection. As a matter of fact, maybe it was the imperfection. The knowing that each other had their own weaknesses. And I remember when I come home from the Marine Corps, Daddy had been to university or something. He was a lot smarter than he was when I left. He was dumb as rock when I left. He didn't know nothing. That's the stupidest man that ever walked on shoes. I had another phrase, but I can't use it in church. And I come home, and I waited. I moved in with this woman. Anyway, it was a long story. I finally decided I needed to go home and see Mom and Dad and see what was going on up there. And I was just amazed at how much smarter my daddy was. He never graduated from school, never graduated from high school. I was the first one in my family to graduate from high school. I'm still the only one that's graduated from college in my family. So it'll be a while before anybody gets a master's and a PhD. So, you know, maybe somebody else will get there. But I loved my daddy. My daddy would go to church. He'd talk about Jesus. Taught Sunday school classes, sang in a quartet when he was in Florida. Still wasn't perfect, still made mistakes, still did wrong things. But at the end of the day, he loved Jesus. He knew that Jesus loved him. And he didn't try to stay and wallow in self-pity and make excuses. But he tried to live the best he could. Folks, don't expect perfection unless you want to have a perfection expected of you. Judge not, lest ye be judged by the same measure and found lacking. We need to make a difference in the world by telling them about Jesus, about telling them about what God's done in your life. My best day is as filthy rags in the presence of God. But he blesses me every day. And I got to tell him about it. He saved a sinner like me. And I got to tell him about it. I got to. That's the differences. Between then and now is our trust in God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, it's strange things. But evil exists today. But Father, today evil is defeated and only has the power we give it. So Father, let us rely on your hope, your source, and let us praise you. Not because we're perfect, not because we got everything right, but because by your grace we have been forgiven. That we own the fact that we have made mistakes. And Father, strange things will happen. Let us give them to you. Let us know evil is defeated. And let us not let it have power in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, and in the world around us. Let us speak against it through the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Let us hold close to your word, the teachings of it, and share it by what we do and by our testimony. Hear our hearts, hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. May we go to share with the world hope, grace, and mercy through truth, through grace, through the Word of God, but through loving, caring, and offering truth that comes from God. May the Holy Spirit guide you, fill you, bless you, and empower you against whatever you may face this week. May you give God glory in His presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.
Worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.